Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Madden!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal. Hey Bunty, welcome back. What's up?
Yeah, everything's good. It was good to be chatting. I was thinking about the time we were together in San Francisco, raising funds and getting into discussions with different people. Very exciting days. So really excited about this podcast growing gradually. And thank you for all the people who are listening. So yeah, all is well. All is well. How are things with you?
Oh, very good. Yeah. And I duplicate that. Very grateful to all the people who are listening, very grateful to all the people who are commenting and so on. Oh, everything's very good. I think technically now my summer has started, so I'm really looking forward to it. I need to finish up a couple of book manuscripts, which is always a challenge, but also rewarding in its own way. And then, other than that, you know, enjoying being with the family, enjoying the summer. And I'm thinking that the one thing I do miss about India, and I miss about a city like Calcutta, which was very multicultural, and Bombay also, is, you know, just the excitement around different Indian festivals, and it would have been, the city would have been lit up for, parts of the city would have been lit up for Ramadan right now. And that also happens to be the topic of the story you've sent me, that there's been a somewhat distressing development that for the first time, I think in many, many years, perhaps the first time since independence, no one from the BJP turned up for our president, the iftar party that President Pranab Mukherjee threw.
Yeah, I think when you look back, when people look back, they can always find an excuse for not being in a particular place at a particular time. And I think that is what will happen. You know, people will say the president of a secular nation through a party or through an iftar party to signify, which is a very significant, powerful moment for the Muslim communities living in India, 200 million of them, that the head of the state, who's the president, acknowledges that you live amongst us and live together with us. And to celebrate Ramadan and to acknowledge that that community is important, the head of the state organizes a function which is iftar, and that iftar happens across homes and families across the nation. And it's the head of the nation saying that come break bread together to signify the end of the Muslim month of fasting. That is the narrative that is there. Now, what Indian Express have picked up is none of the ruling BJP cabinet members, and this is for the first time in the history, have made it to this iftar party. Now, as I said at the beginning of commenting on this, then in retrospect, people will use all that they can to say that there were, you know, somebody had to go and buy Odomos, somebody had to strike a deal with somebody else. You know, there are hajar reasons will be there for not doing it, but just reading it on a paper and thinking about the 200 million people who are of the Muslim community living in our nation, if you were Muslim and thinking of this party and this government, you'd feel let down. And I'm not saying that you need to feel let down because of the iftar, but it's just one out of a litany of many other things aside from lynching and, you know, generally victimizing people. So that's why I thought we should talk about it. The other reason that could happen, Rohit, is because we know this president is on his last legs, by which I mean he's an elected president, head of state. He's running out of gas. He's going to be soon replaced by a couple of other. There's going to be a presidential election, and he's going to be replaced by another head of state. So the more benign approach to all of this could be that given that this president is toothless and he's kind of on his way out, it doesn't really matter to us if we rock up at something that he's organizing and scheduling. Those are the two things that I thought would be worth holding up to our listeners from the story.
Yeah, I have a few thoughts about this. You know, all very, very cogent points, and I'm in agreement with you. Additionally, you know, the first thought that comes to mind is that, you know, these festivals are celebrated because these are Indian festivals. So by not showing up for the iftar dinner, the BJP is very clearly signaling that in its imagination, this does not count as an Indian festival. And that's completely consistent with the logic of the Hindu right, that, you know, Muslims are invaders and outsiders, and that Islam is an alien faith, and that really the true faith of all Muslims is actually Hinduism. That Hinduism is a way of life which is more fundamental to being Indian than any other faith. So that's the first point. The second is, you know, just the cynicism of the BJP with regard to really questions of identity, because it's a party that's, you know, Hindu, pro-upper caste, you know, and a particular, has a particular notion of Hinduness as being the basis for authentic Indian identity, even as they have pretty much boycotted or abandoned attending, not attended this iftar dinner. They have suggested the name of Ramnath Kovind, who's a Dalit, as president. So
right.
There's a very cynical way in which they play this you know, identity political game, that you know, there are times when Dalits and Muslims are excluded from the fold, and there are other times when they're included in the fold. So you can even look at the, you know, power sharing agreement they have with the government in Jammu and Kashmir as an example of that. And then finally, yes, you're absolutely right that with regard to Pranab Mukherjee, you know, Pranab Mukherjee, I have to give it to him that barring a few statements where he, I think, sang the praises of Indira Gandhi because of his own long association with the Congress and with her as being this great prime minister, which you know, completely, which displayed a complete sort of amnesia or unwillingness to talk about the emergency, he's made some statements about, you know, inclusiveness and about India's secular heritage, which I think have been very pointedly aimed at the kinds of things that are happening with the tacit or overt blessings of the BJP. And I think for that reason, you know, it's perhaps being made very clear that he's going to be a one-termer, right? And that there's going to be a new president.
Yeah, I think Pranab Babu is a very interesting character. He does that uniquely Bengali hustle of celebrating Durga Puja in person. So he kind of runs back to his village home, and he has done that consistently across his political life to celebrate and kind of officiate Durga Puja celebrations. At the same time, heading up or being the figurehead of a secular nation state, which I think is a unique place to be. I think in the cutting of Abul Kalam Azad, you know, who was this kind of very benign Muslim president that we had, he is a difficult act to follow. And you know, I think Pranab Mukherjee has done a good job. I think I take your point that, you know, he kind of had his face up somebody's backside because of the association that he had with this lady in the formative stages of his political career. But that aside, he has made the neutral sounding noises that every president of India should make, and has kind of not diminished the dignity of the office. So best of luck to him in whatever he does well. And I'm interested to know the kind of dynamics of the new presidential election, which is a head-to-head, which has been made into this kind of caste head-to-head, Dalit versus Dalit. And it's feels very odd that in 21st century commentary, we are addressing caste as a factor, but you know, that is what it is.
Right. And you know, it raises a series of very complicated questions. There's a journalist, Rama Lakshmi, of the who writes for the Washington Post, and she made a very, very interesting point on Twitter, because one of the criticisms that was being made in, you know, public spaces, including Twitter, about Ramnath Kovind was that he's been a pro Hindu right, pro BJP guy, you know, all his career apparently, and he's a sort of man of the Sangh.
Right.
You know, questions were being raised that, you know, whether as a Dalit he should really have these positions, or, you know, should he not speak out, should he be more critical? And I think there's an interesting point she raised, which is that, you know, because he's a Dalit, should there be this burden of fighting political battles on behalf of the wider community and on behalf of, you know, whatever you want to call it, inclusivity, liberal values, the nation, equality, Indian vision of secularism, whatever you want to call it, like, should that burden be on him? And this is a interesting question, that do minorities disproportionately have to bear these, you know, political burdens of fighting for justice for their communities? I mean, he And I think the exact way in which she put it, which to me was very interesting, is that does a Dalit not have the option of being a careerist? So I think that's another question that's in the mix.
No, fair point. You raise a very fair point. Look, I think no matter how the election pans out, it's going to be the presidential election. Obviously, the BJP have such a large majority in the Lok Sabha that I think at some point it will become academic. But I think the Rajya Sabha votes will actually... I honestly do not know where, if you add up the Rajya Sabha and the Lok Sabha votes, whether it's a close call thing, whether this is a genuine competition between two candidates, one from the opposition and the other from the ruling party, or whether it's basically a coronation. In which case, you know, I think on the one hand, we should credit the BJP government of signaling that, you know, while we may be skipping iftar parties, we are on the same time addressing another vote bank issue, which is, you know, this whole kind of caste bias that has had. And maybe that helps us stumble into the kind of the new kind of alignment of the right in the politics that is happening, where the primacy of the Hindu identity is being consolidated. And the UP election is one kind of little theater ground from which we can riff on, which is that rather than... Yeah, the consolidation of the Hindu identity is something that this party is doing very well. And in part and parcel of that is signaling to people that, you know, caste doesn't matter anymore because, you know, we are one and the same, which I think is a very progressive thing to play. But I think the way it's being played out is for obvious political gains. But, you know, the fact that it was being played out differently 20, 25 years ago is also another matter. So, yeah, complicated matters. But let's see what happens on the presidential election.
Right. So I think on that note, we should wrap this up. All right, man. So we'll chat again very soon. And for our readers, thank you. For our listeners, sorry. Thank you. Keep listening. And we'll be back in a few days with some more episodes. Take care.
Yes. Take care. Bye-bye.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.